good morning, Fairhaven Church. Morning. Great to see all of you here. We're so glad you're here. If you're a guest, thanks for coming. I want to welcome Springboro and Northmont, our other campuses. We are one church in three locations, and so it's great to have all of you here. Welcome to week three of our Heaven series, 7 weeks of this series, as we're thinking and talking about heaven, trying to get a glimpse and an understanding of what heaven would be like. We said right up front, we don't have all the answers. The Bible doesn't give us all the answers, but it gives us enough glimpses of it that we can at least answer some questions or at least lean into some questions so that you and I can have some understanding. I want to start out by a song that many of you know. How many of you remember the song Imagine by John Lennon? Can I just see you just raise them up in all of our locations? Okay, so here's what John Lennon says. He says, imagine there's no heaven. Now, you probably want me to sing this, right? Imagine there's no countries. Imagine no possessions. Imagine all the people. Nothing to kill or die. Living life in peace. No need for greed or hungry. Sharing all the world. Woo-hoo, woo-woo. I just added that part. I mean, if you listen to that, he's describing heaven, right? I mean, if he starts off by saying there's no heaven, then he sort of describes some of the things that we've been talking about. So in this series, as we've been talking about heaven, there's a verse that really has been the foundation verse for us, and here it is. You can jot this down. You don't need to turn there, but we're going to turn to someplace in the New Testament in just a minute in your Bibles. But Paul in Colossians says this, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, so if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, and in that relationship with God has been restored through Jesus Christ. And because Jesus walked away from a tomb, we just celebrated that, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, a month ago. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights, or in other words, crave the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at God's right hand in the place of honor and power. This is the base of this entire series. When I read this months and months ago, I thought, we got to talk about this because we need to set our sights on the realities. We need to get excited about heaven because of this one principle that we mentioned last week, and that's this. The most heavenly minded are the most earthly good. See, when you get to pull what the glimpses of heaven that we have, and you get to pull it into your world today, you get to pull it into your life and into your relationships, it can make you the most earthly good. I grew up, said this 2 weeks ago, hearing people say, if you're so heavenly minded, you're absolutely no, help me out here if you've heard it, no earthly good. No earthly good. And that's just false. And that's why we're doing 7 weeks on this, because we hope to be more heavenly minded so that we can be the most earthly good in our lives. And that's really, really important for us. And so we started with some questions. Week one, we said, what is heaven? And if you missed all of these series or any of these messages or talks, you can go back and download our app if you want, or you can go on to fairhavenchurch.org and watch any of these messages, because as we're looking through this and getting glimpses and answering questions, you may want to catch up if you missed some. I know some of you have been gone for a while. We've had a lot of people come back as the weather is turning, and it's great to have you back, and so you may want to catch up. Week one, we talked about what is heaven. Last week, Paul helped us, what will we look like? And as I listened to it, I was, you know, was just so glad to see what Paul had to say. And we talked about it actually before. And in my own mind, I had this, you know, this vision of me when I was 27 and, you know, between 27 and 28, 30, somewhere in there. That's kind of the vision I have, right? How many of you want to be different than you are now in the resurrected body? Can I just see your hands, right? I'm hoping that maybe my nose will be a little bit smaller. One lady told me one time as she looked at me, she said, you know, it looks like somebody pushed your eyes in and pulled your forehead out. A few things I wanted to say to her, but I didn't. And so we talked about what we'll look like. This week, here's the question we're going to address. Will I know or recognize anyone? And these are two important things. Because you can know that you're in a crowd, right? And you can know there's people all around you. But if you don't recognize anyone, that just seems like you're just in a crowd and, you know, and it's just not that interesting. You know, you can go to a game at like Ohio State or some big game, some soccer game I went to a month ago in Quito, Ecuador, and, you know, and I was with only two guys, and I recognized these two guys, but I was with a lot of people in that stadium, and I knew there was a lot of people there, but I didn't recognize anybody except the two guys I was with. And is that what heaven's going to be like, where you're just going to be with a bunch of people and you won't recognize any of them, and it's just about you and God? And so we're going to be talking about that today. So take your Bibles with me, because we want to get to work here. So turn to Revelation chapter 21. Started there 2 weeks ago, and we're going to go back there because we get some glimpses in Revelation 21 of not only what heaven is like and what it is, but we also get some glimpses about, will we have any relationships, and will we know anybody, and will we recognize anybody? What will those relationships look like, and how will those relationships happen in our lives? We're going to try to answer that. Revelation chapter 21. If you don't have a Bible, there's one provided for you in all of our campuses. In fact, if you don't own one, we'll give you one. So scoot over next to somebody if you don't have one so that you can see this. Revelation 21, verse 1. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride," key crucial word there, "as a bride dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among,'" what do your Bibles say? "Among the people." So we know there's going to be people there, a lot of people. So first question, will we know any, you know, yeah, we'll know there'd be a lot of people there. The more important question is, will we recognize them? "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." I'll talk about that in relationship to relationships. That's really important. Verse 6, "He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end.'" That's a really important verse when it comes to relationships in heaven and answering the question, will I know anyone? Will I recognize anyone? "To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." Verse 10, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It was a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written," underline this, "were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel." Why would he do that? I'll tell you that in a minute. "There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The walls of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." So a lot of names. Jump down to verse 24. "The nations," that sounds like a lot of people, right? "The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gate ever be shut." So this city, even though it's huge and massive, the gates will never be shut. That's symbolic, isn't it? "The glory and honor of the nations," there again, lots of people, "will be brought into it. Nothing impure will enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in Lamb's Book of Life." So if you're here today and you're a Christ follower, you may want to pay close attention to this, because this has to do with your eternity. And if you're here today and somebody promised you lunch or twisted your arm or something, you need to pay close attention, because this could be your eternity. Because Jesus promises us an eternity with him as we enter into a relationship and we surrender our lives to him. And so what we're going to do here is try to answer this question. Will I know or recognize anyone in heaven? And here's how I want to frame it for you. I'm going to give you the answer, no, and what that implies, although I'll fight with it, so you see where my bias is. And then I'm going to give you the answer, yes, and what the implications of yes. So if the answer is no, here are the implications. And if the answer is yes, then here are the implications. And what you'll see as we go through this here today, that I'm going to give you 3 things about, you know, that are implied through no, and 3 things that are implied through yes. And you'll begin to discover that really the answer is yes, even though I want to pose for you the implications of no, because these are the thoughts and ideas that come up that people talk about that I think are very important for us to make sure that we have understanding about. So let me start with know. So if we ask the question, will I know or recognize anyone when it comes to heaven? Will I be in relationship with anyone in heaven? If the answer is no, it implies a few things that are really important that you may want to jot down. And then what I'll give you is some verses that you can jot down that actually will fight against this so that you and I can come up with some real clear answers here. But if the answer is no, here's what that implies. It first of all implies that heaven is just about God and me. So if you won't know anyone or you won't recognize anyone in heaven at all, then heaven really is about God and me. It's just about you and God. And some people will tell you that when you get to heaven, it's just about you and God. Now, let me make sure I make a few things clear here, because you need to jump down and again and look at verse 6 there in Revelation 21. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. Let me put that in words that maybe you and I can understand today. Jesus is everything. He is the beginning of our life. He is the end of our life. Jesus knows how our life began. He knows how our life is going to end. As you think of the current events today all over the world, as you think about our economy, as you think about the Middle East, the good news is that Jesus knows the beginning and he knows the end, right? And so when it comes to our relationship with God, let me make it very, very clear. The center of gravity in heaven is Jesus Christ, God the Father, and God the Spirit. Are we clear on that? I mean, that's the center of gravity in heaven. So when we get to heaven, we're going to enjoy in real life and in color this relationship with God. But the question is heaven just about God and me and forget the rest of you? Or maybe be in a stadium with a bunch of people that you kind of look around and say, yeah, there's a lot of nations here, but I don't recognize anybody and there's not many relationships. It's just God and me. Well, let me give you some verses to jot down so that you and I can begin thinking about this. Because all the way from the very beginning of time in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, what we read is this, that God said, it is not good for man to be alone. He created the first day of creation and he said, it's good. Second day, it's good. Third day, it's good. And when he got to the end, he said, it's very good. And then he got to the chapter 2 and he created Adam, and he said, it's good. And then he looked at Adam and said, wait, it's not good for Adam to be alone. And he created Eve. Now keep in mind, the Garden of Eden is the prelude or maybe a glimpse of what heaven is going to be like. In the garden, they had all the animals and the trees, and life was perfect. The relationship with God was perfect. Adam had a perfect relationship with God there in the garden. And all of a sudden, God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I'm going to create someone so that there can be a relationship. And the relationship is that they had this relationship that then turned into marriage. And we'll talk about marriage in just a little bit. But he created relationships. And in the context of that relationship, they were able to enjoy God together in relationship. Are you following me? So when we think of heaven just being about God and me, don't minimize human relationships. Don't minimize the relationships that we will have, the earthly relationships that we will have in heaven as Jesus establishes the new heaven and the new earth. We talked last week about our bodies. If we're going to have resurrected bodies that are real and that will have emotions and intellect, it stands to reason that we'll have relationships because God created us in his image to enjoy relationships. In fact, in this fallen earth, if you and I can have relationships that draw us to God. Ever have a relationship that draws you to God? Right? I can think of many people in my life who have drawn me to God. People that God has brought into my life. Mentors, coaches, family members, friends that have helped me and pointed me to God, where my relationship with God is stronger because of people. In fact, oftentimes when I'm talking to people and I'll say, tell me about your spiritual life, you know what they'll tell me? They'll give me names. of people. Rarely will they say, you know, it was that sermon. Every once in a while, they'll say it was that guy who gave that sermon, maybe, but oftentimes it's names of people that God uses to bring us to an understanding or to draw us to God. And if that can happen in a fallen world, how much more will it happen in perfection in heaven, right? So it stands to reason as we think of Genesis that we're going to have relationships. Matthew chapter 22, Jesus says this, the first most important commandment is love God. The second most important commandment is love each other. And Jesus said those two commandments not because they're in competition with each other, but because they work together. You see, as you and I have relationship, one of the highest ways that you can love God, catch this, one of the ways that you can love God, the highest way, is to love somebody else. That's amazing that he gives us these relationships and he says, I want you to love each other. And that will be a picture of my love, and I'll use you to draw each other to me because God is the center of gravity at heaven. He's the center of gravity in our lives today, and we'll have relationships in heaven, and those relationships will be perfected, and we'll enjoy them, and we should look at them, and we'll talk more about that in just a little bit. In 1 Thessalonians, you don't need to turn there. At the very end, I'm going to have you turn to someplace in 1 Thessalonians, but in 1 Thessalonians, Paul is talking to this church. He actually started the church and then had to leave quickly and wanted to go back and be with them. So he writes this letter, and the letter is 1 Thessalonians, and then he wrote another one called 2 Thessalonians. And so as he wrote 1 Thessalonians, he said to them, man, I'd love to be with you. I want you to know I love you. In fact, here's what it says. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, we cared for you because we love you so much and we delight in being with you. And we're sorry that we can't be with you. But brothers and sisters, calls them family members, talk about that in a second. When we were orphaned by being separated, our intense longing was that we wanted to see you. But then he says this in verse 19, for our hope and our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes. So Paul says, when Jesus comes back, the joy and the crown of this, is it not you, he says to them. Indeed, you are glory and joy. See, Paul is saying that his relationships with his friends is part of his joy, and that joy is in no way in competition with his joy of God. None. So I would argue that if the answer is no, we've got verses that we can prove that heaven is not just about God and me. But if the answer is no, then this is the implication. Here's number two. If the answer is no, will I know or recognize anyone? If it's no, then that implies that heaven is a memory wipe. That your memory will be wiped out. That you won't remember anything. See, I believe that in heaven, our minds will be sharper, not foggier. Anybody else agree with that? I believe our minds will be clearer, not more confused. I believe that as we think about heaven, that memory, as we think about our bodies, is basic to life, right? I mean, think about your life. Your life is made up of memories, some bad, some good. But as you think about your life, oftentimes we sit on our decks or we sit, you know, at the beach or you sit in a mountain or maybe you go on a hike and you're thinking. And what you're thinking on is the memories that you have. See, memory is just part of our lives. Memory is part of who we are. It's basic to life and personality. That's why those of us who've had family members who've struggled with Alzheimer's, what a terrible disease that is, right? There are a lot of terrible diseases, but this is just one of them, right? Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have family members who've had Alzheimer's? And in stage one, they forget small things and they forget little things, and then it goes on and it gets harder and harder. And I just got to believe that when you read that the enemy wants to steal and to kill and destroy, when he steals and kills our memories, that's just part of who we are. It's the part of life that we have. So you see, when you look at verse 4, Revelation 21, look at verse 4 with me. We talked about this 2 weeks. it says in there that there'll be no tears, no death, no pain, no mourning. And we said that heaven will wipe away sadness and death and sickness and suffering and sin. And so you're thinking, well, how do I sort that out? Let me help you here a little bit. See, part of our memory is associated with guilt. Part of our memory associates shame. Part of our memory associates insecurity and inadequacies and imperfection in our lives. And all of that in heaven will be gone, but not our memory. In fact, let me put it this way. It'll make what Jesus did even that more sharper in our lives, because the contrast between what we remember in our lives to what Jesus has done will be contrasted so wide and so far that we will have so much joy that as we remember our earthly lives and what God did, the contrast to that is even greater. Henry, heaven is not a memory wipe. See, heaven's happiness is because of what God did for us on earth and the gift of forever in perfection. Do you know that the word truth in the Bible is this little Greek word right here? And the Greek word for truth, if you do the definition is to stop forgetting. The word used in the Bible for truth means stop forgetting. In other words, truth is based on remembering. It's no wonder that at communion, when we come together, we say, as Jesus told us to do this in remembrance of Him. Because truth is about remembering. It's about memory. But you see, if the answer is no, then heaven is a memory wipe. And I don't believe that our memory will be wiped away from us. I don't believe that. I don't see any evidence of that in Scripture. Here's the third thing. If it's no, it implies that heaven is based on ignorance, not perspective. Ignorance. Look in your Bibles again, Revelation chapter 21. Take a look at verse 12. It says that the names of the tribes of Israel are written on the gates. Why would they be written there? If you got to heaven and there was no memory, it's just about you and God, why would you get there and on the gates are the names of the tribes of Israel? Because you'd get there and you go, who are they? Like, what's that about? I mean, what are those words? I don't even know who those guys are. And if you jump down to verse 14, it says the names of the apostles will be written on the foundations. And then it says the glory of the nations will be there. The glory of the nations has something to do with our memory as we get there. If we're supposed to remember others' history, won't we remember our own? Right? And so when we look at these verses here, I think Revelation gives us a glimpse that, yeah, it's all about perspective. As we look at our lives and what God has done and the relationships that we have. But if the answer is no, it implies these three things, that heaven is just about me and God, it's just about, you know, memory wipe, and it's based on ignorance, not perspective. However, if the answer is yes, that also implies some really important things. So let's talk about that for a minute. See, will I know or recognize anyone? If it's yes, that implies, number one, that losing someone is now bearable. When you lose a loved one, if they're a Christ follower, it's bearable, isn't it? Some of you I know have lost children. I've buried them. I know a couple who had a one-year-old, just under one-year-old. They live in Cleveland now. One of the hardest funerals I've ever done. The casket was this big. And you got to believe that those parents, as they go through life, are banking on the fact that one day when they get to heaven, they'll see that little boy again. In fact, in my mind, I can just imagine that when they get to heaven, that this little boy is going to walk up and put his hand into theirs and say, let me show you around. Let me just show you a couple places that are really cool, right? Because it makes losing someone that much more bearable as we think about it. See, in fact, I could have you turn. We're not going to do that. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you might want to write that down. If you've ever been to a funeral, you'll hear these words. Because in these words, here's what Paul says. Paul says, God will bring with Jesus, when he comes back, God will bring with Jesus all those that have fallen asleep And then he says, those who are alive will be caught up to meet him in the clouds, in the heavens, and then we will be with God forever. And then he says, now I want you to comfort each other with that. What comfort is it for you and I if when we get to heaven, we won't know or recognize anyone? What comfort is that, right? So Paul says, because when God comes, he's going to bring them all back, and you're going to meet them in the sky, and then we're going to live with God forever and comfort each other with these thoughts. I'm very comforted. I can't wait to see my grandma. I lost her when she was 7. I used to sit on her lap, and she'd read me books just over and over again. I can't even tell you the name of the books. I can't even tell you the story. What I have in my memory is her soft lap. I can't wait to see her again. Do you know that when Jesus was resurrected and he had his resurrected body, the disciples recognized him? In fact, in John 21, it says the disciples recognized him as he had breakfast with them on the seashore. Thomas in John 20 recognized Jesus, even though he was a skeptic, and said, let me see your hands. And Jesus showed him the hands. You can read in 1 Corinthians 15 that 500 people at one time recognized Jesus. Mary in John 20 recognized Jesus at the tomb the second he mentioned her name. His voice, he recognized, she recognized his voice. Luke 24, the disciples on the road to Emmaus, people say, well, there's the verse there. I mean, that's the one. They didn't recognize Jesus. Well, if you read the story carefully, it says that the Spirit hid their eyes from recognizing him and then all of a sudden undid it, and so they recognized Jesus in his resurrected body. You could go to Matthew 17, and on the Mount of Transfiguration, three disciples recognized Moses and Elijah. They'd never met him. They recognized him. So will we recognize people? Absolutely. And that makes losing people more bearable in life. Here's the second thing. See, the answer yes to the question, will I know or recognize anyone, implies that heaven is a place of relational gain, not loss. Our relationships will get stronger in heaven. Our relationships will get deeper in heaven. And just in a few minutes, I'm going to give you the point of this whole message and why this is so important to talk about as we grab this glimpse of heaven and bring it right into our own lives. But let me answer a few questions that typically come up when it comes to heaven. Here's question number one. Will there be marriage or family in heaven? Well, you can read, if you want, in Matthew, and Jesus was questioned in Matthew chapter 22 by the Sadducees. You can read the story for yourself. It's in Matthew chapter 22. The Sadducees didn't even believe in the afterlife. They believed in no resurrection, and so they were trying to trap Jesus, and so they came up to Jesus and said, suppose a woman dies, but she'd been married to 7 men. When she gets to heaven, who will she be married to? And Jesus answers in Matthew chapter 22, which is disheartening for many of us who are married. He says, well, there's no one to be given into marriage in heaven. We won't need it. So here's the answer. Will there be marriage? Yes. One, there'll be the marriage of Jesus and the bride. See, if you're not used to going to church and you hear people calling each other brother and sister, it's a little weird, right? I mean, it's kind of strange that, you know, we're brother or sister and we're not even related. The reality is we're just practicing, because when we get to heaven, we're all family, right? We're all under the umbrella of this family, of this one marriage that's going to happen. But marriages that we have now will not be needed in heaven, because marriage is just a preview of what heaven will be all about. And so will there be marriage or will there be family? I think there'll be relationships. I think that the relationships that you and I have now will understand those relationships. Here's the hard part. Our finite minds can't get our minds around that. We can't get around the idea that we'll be married, but now we're, you know, but then in heaven won't be married. And so let me mention 4 things that you may want to think about when it comes to this idea of will there be marriage in heaven. There's one marriage, it just won't be our marriages. And will there be family? We're all family. We're all going to be related to each other. A couple things about marriage. Number one, marriage on earth was given as a gift to point to our relationship with Jesus in heaven. The purpose of marriage is to prepare for heaven. As you read in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul's talking about marriage, and he said, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one." He's quoting Genesis, right? You know that probably. But then he says something else that's a little confusing. He says this, "For this is a profound mystery." What's a mystery? Two becoming one? Yeah, that's a pretty profound mystery, but that's not really the mystery. He says the profound mystery is, I'm talking about Christ and the church. See, marriage is just simply a preview of what heaven's going to be like. Secondly, and this will be encouraging to those of you that are married, marriage is also about someone who is your best friend. About your best friend. And so if we'll have relationships in heaven, and if you'll recognize people in heaven, guess what? The good news for me is my wife will still be my best friend in heaven. And our relationship will go deeper in heaven. We won't have marriage like we have it on earth, but we'll still be friends and deep friends because we have those relationships. My son said to me one time, a number of years ago, he said, "Dad, do you like mom or me better?" And I said, "That's an easy one." I said, "I like your mom much better. I mean, I love your mom much more than you." And he was trying to process that. So he said, "So, like if both mom and I were standing in front of a bus and a bus was coming, like who would you rescue?" And I go, "Oh, hands down, I'd rescue mom." "Really? You'd rescue mom? You'd let me get hit by a bus?" "Absolutely." And he's trying to process this whole thing. And so he says, "So why would you do that?" And I go, "Well, it's simple, because I need your mom's help for the other three boys that we have." I mean, is it possible for us to love God more than anyone else and still have relationships like our children? Yes. Is it possible in heaven for us to have friendships and deep friendships? Yes. If you're married, this ought to give you great impetus to work on your marriage, that you might be great friends, because you'll be able to deepen that in heaven. That's amazing. Number three. Just because human marriage is not needed in heaven, it doesn't mean that deep relationships will end. See, if you'll know and recognize people, I think I'm going to recognize my small group. I'm going to recognize the relationships that I have with them. I'm going to remember the stories of what we prayed about in our small group, about friends that are overseas and about our kids that are going to college, and I'm going to remember that. That's going to be part of the memory, and that's part of the relationships that we have. Here's number four. Let me talk to you who are not married. If you're single, this is great news for you, because if you feel as a single that you're somehow a second-class citizen because you live in a married culture, first of all, you don't. In Montgomery County, there are more than half of the people that live in our county that are single. So you're actually in the majority if you're single. Secondly, I would tell you that when you get to heaven, your best friendships might still be in heaven. That's good news, right? So if you're here and you feel lonely and you don't feel like you have good friends, your best friendships may still be there in heaven. That's why we need to set the realities of our mind on heaven and pull heaven into our hearts and lives today. So will there be a marriage? One. And will we have family? Yeah. We'll all be family. And in that family, I think we'll recognize more other rather than others, and we'll have deep relationships. Here's the second question, and it gets a little harder. What about babies? What about infants? What about miscarriages? A couple of things that are really important. First of all, let's agree that there is no such thing as the doctrine of innocence. In other words, a baby is no less innocent in the eyes of God than you and I are. Can we agree on that? In other words, every human at the point of conception, where life begins, is fallen by nature, right? It isn't that they are born, and when they get to one, you know, they're still innocent. In other words, you know, they get a special pass, and then they get to two, and all hell breaks loose, right? And then we find out they do have a sinful nature, and on, you know. I mean, that's not how it happens. There is no doctrine of innocence. Every person, catch this, every person is headed for hell unless Jesus steps in. Are you with me? However, I think there's great evidence in Scripture that Jesus had a special place for infants and children. In Matthew chapter 19, he rebuked the disciples for excluding the children, and he said, "Let the children come." In Matthew 18, he said, "Let the children come so that I can embrace them." In Matthew 18, he went on to use children as an example of faith. In Ezekiel 16, God chastised the people for killing children. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus says the angels have been assigned to little children. In Matthew 21, Jesus quotes Psalm 8, and he says, "The infants and the children praise God." How do they do that? In Luke chapter 1, verse 15, it says that John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit in the womb. I think there's great evidence in the Bible that God has a special place for infants and for children. This week, I was talking to my mother, and I didn't know this. She's been following along in this Heaven series, and so we were talking, and she said, "What are you going to talk about this week?" And so I gave her the message kind of over the phone, so I don't know if she'll watch or not. But as we were talking about this, and she was talking to me, she said, "David, do you know I didn't tell you? In fact, I haven't told anybody. I had a miscarriage between you and your sister. I'm the oldest. My sister's the second." And she said, "I had a miscarriage between you and your sister. And many, many years ago, I had a dream. And in the dream at night, God revealed to me that your grandma..." I called her Emma. "Grandma was holding a little girl, and she was rocking that little girl, and in my dream, Grandma says, 'She's waiting for you.'" And on the phone, my mother said, "I can't wait for the day when I get to heaven and I get to hold the hand of a little girl who's going to walk me around heaven and show me a few things." That was pretty powerful. I didn't know that. See, I think God has a special place. I believe that God has a special relationship to infants and kids. You will have an eternity to regain lost time. So if you've lost a spouse and it was way too early, you'll have an eternity to continue that friendship. If you've lost a child, you'll have an eternity. It's like comp time. You get to catch up forever. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Here's the last thing about yes. Will I know or recognize if the answer is yes, then our earthly relationships have eternal consequences. Here's the takeaway for the day. Don't miss this. If you miss everything else, see, here's why the realities of heaven are so important. Because our earthly relationships have eternal consequences. Write this down. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 13 to 15. This week, sometime in your small group or in your own personal study, read it. And what Paul says in there is this. He said, "Hold people in high regard. Live in peace with each other. Warn them about disruptive things. Encourage them when they're disheartened. Help them when they're weak. Be patient with them. Nobody pay wrong for wrong. Strive to do good for everyone, including people all around you." And he goes on and on. Here's the reason why. Because if we're going to know and recognize people, then our earthly relationships have eternal consequences. Let me show you something that might blow you away. In our relationships in heaven, it won't have these things. Ready for this? In heaven, we won't have cliques and exclusiveness and arrogance and posturing and belittling and jealousy and gossip and manipulation. There won't be loneliness. There won't be controlling behavior, a desire to be married, the hope of being a parent or worrying about a child, disappointments, bad friendships, or a lack of friendships. None of this will be in heaven because all of our relationships will be perfect. And we'll get to enjoy all of that. So here's the question. Will I know or recognize anyone? And the answer is, church, yes. Yes. So focus on your relationships now, because it matters. As you and I live out our lives every single day, it matters. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you give us just glimpses. And as we've tried to put these glimpses together to understand that we love you and that you are the center of our lives, and yet you've blessed us with these relationships. Father, we thank you that when we get to heaven, all of those relationships will be healed. And all the relationships that we have with family and friends and spouses will be healed in such a way that our relationships can deepen in heaven. And for the relationships that we have that are great and deep already, we thank you that we'll be able to even enjoy them further when we get to heaven. So, Father, we pray that you would help us, that as we think about these heavenly things, that we might be the most earthly good, that we would focus on our relationships now because it matters. It matters for our eternity. We thank you in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.